We're in this time of what does it mean to have a Great Commission home. And if you've forgotten, this scripture is the Great Commission. These are the last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And they are given to us to explain to us what we're supposed to be about and what life is about. Why did God give us this time on earth? Why didn't he just take us all back once he finished his own personal resurrection? Well, you know, you and I exist to finish this Great Commission. So would you just follow along with me in your hearts? Then the disciples went home to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you have given us the purpose and the mission of life to know you and to love you and be part of helping others know you. Father, just like Adam and Eve were put in a garden and they were told, take care of this place, help it grow and help it be fruitful and multiply. Lord, you've put each one of us in a family, in a workplace, in a school. And you've put us there like you put Adam and Eve and say, hey, here's your garden. Here's what I want you to take care of for me. Help people know me and help discipleship that people know me and are close to me. Help that happen. And so, Lord, we want to give ourselves to your calling. And we ask that right now your Holy Spirit would continue what has already begun in worship, would continue to come upon us. And help us to understand the kingdom of God and what our lives are about in such a way that great joy, great victory, and great healing, and great fruitfulness will be in our homes and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. The premise of this sermon series that we're now on is that while our daily love, and this is for you who are note takers, it's your first blank, while our daily love for Jesus should lead to a weekly Great Commission time in our homes. Our theme at Cornerstone is making Jesus the center of everyday life. We want every person to be a disciple. And so we do that by worshiping faithfully, loving biblically, serving joyfully, and leading wisely. And you, when you do membership class with me, I walk you through all what that looks like. But sometimes in American church, we get very individualized, and so it's just about my own personal relationship with Jesus. And sometimes there's a disconnect between my own personal devotion time and how I'm inviting Jesus Christ into my home. Because what we've been saying is just like Jesus spoke to the disciples and told them, go back to Galilee, which was their home, and there he said, this is where I want you to know what discipleship's all about. So we need to have a fresh word that discipleship first and foremost belongs in our house. That's where discipleship happens. This is not a sermon for parents of young kids. This is a sermon whether you're retired, whether you're a roommate and you live with some other people, whether it's your empty nest or you're in the middle of parenting years. All of us need to rehear this call that the Great Commission should be the mission of our home. And so what we're proposing, and what I think is very biblical, I'm not just trying to give you my nifty idea or opinion, but that a home that is living out the Great Commission has these four elements to it. And what we're proposing is that we're not saying you need to do all four of these every week. We're saying every week, while you're daily growing in Jesus, you're making sure in your home at least once a week, you're having a Great Commission time. And that time, first week, can be about worship, because you can't stay in mission if you don't have worship. You know, we said the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, worship, reverence, be your name. What's the next thing? Your kingdom come, mission, your will be done. So mission always starts with worship. But then we want to have a week of encouragement. We're going to talk about this week. Last week, I was dropping off our oldest to college for the first time, so I was in no shape to preach because I was just weeping uncontrollably. It was very pitiful. So Pastor Travis did witness for us, and that really is the culmination of our home. And then we're going to talk in next week about intercession. These four, and I want you to hear this word because I'm going to use it very intentionally. These four are the rhythm we should have in our home. And I'm going to contrast that to religion in our home. And I'm going to use religion meaning just rules and regulations, okay? We don't want to bring legalism into our home, but we do want to bring a rhythm of the Great Commission in our home so that we're always on mission as a home. Now, sometimes church has treated the Great Commission like the add-on at the end. Like, and if you're really doing good as a church or as a family, then you're also doing the Great Commission. Like, it's this add-on. What I would say to you is the Great Commission, the last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, is the center of what it is to have a Jesus-centered life. That is what we want as families to be about. When we were in Ethiopia for 5 weeks, my family, we spent 3 weeks with our missionaries who serve in Dire Dawa, the Martins, Angie and Jerry. And we got to be part of the rhythm of their missions team. And they would always take, they would do all four of these every week, very intentionally. I thought, man, this is saying something to me about how I need to go home and parent my house. And as we came back, of course, when we left, everything with the Supreme Court came down. And so, you know, just a lot of grieving, a lot of just, Lord, what's going on with our community? And here's the thought every parent had. What kind of world are my kids going to grow up in? That's what you had. And you know what? And I had that thought too. And it's interesting because that thought, while biblically very accurate, can also go unbiblical real quick into just anger and frustration and even hate. Because you can just go there. And why? Because you're thinking about your kids. And you're thinking about, why do they have to do this? And you're starting to get, now you're not just wanting the nation to know about Jesus. Now you're angry at what the nation is doing to your kids. And I'm not saying anger is not even appropriate in the right way. But let me tell you what changed about me by the end of my time in Ethiopia. See, we had spent 5 weeks trying to teach our kids, and I've got 18 to 8, trying to teach our kids what it is to be on mission in the world. What it is, what the joy is to be someone who's saying, hey, this world, God has a lot of treasures in it, but man, it's broken and it's a mess. And you know what? We're here to go help it. We're here to be part of God's love for it. And you know what? I was talking to some parents after we came back, and they brought up the issue. I just live as parents are like, where in the world are my kids? Where are they growing up? And I said, you know what? I used to think like that too, and I still have that question, but I don't feel the same way anymore for my kids. Because my kids, by the time we came back from that trip and what we're doing, they're excited to serve God on the mission field. Wherever that is, whether that means Chester, Virginia, in a job, in a school, wherever, it's like, you know what? I've realized that when my home is a Great Commission home, as a parent, we can handle the tough stuff because we know why we're here. We're not here playing defense with our fingers crossed till Jesus comes. No, the reason we're here is because guess what? God chose for my kids to live in this time. This is not a defense moment with, boy, I hope they make it. No, this is why they live. They live for this time. They were called for this time. What they are is going to be God's response to what's going on in this world around me. And I'm not going to sit there and shake my fists at our government and just be all ticked off and frustrated. I've got some words of rebuke and some correction for it. But you know what I am? I'm like, no, Lord, we're on mission, and this is why we exist. And so my parenting's all different. Because as the word says, not the word, but the saying says, a great offense is just a great defense. Like, you take care of the offense and you won't be playing much defense, will you? And you know what? The Bible tells me that when we're a group of disciples in my home, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, because we're moving forward, not backwards. So I say this not because it's just a parenting sermon, but what I'm telling you is what we think is an add-on to the home is supposed to be the center of it. When we focus here, everything else comes in focus the right way in what we do. This is why you and I exist. We were born for such a time as this. We were here because God said this is when they need to be here, which means I've got a mission. Now, one of the premises of this sermon series is, yeah, but there is great joy in the Great Commission, but that joy is hidden. And of course, Alex, I'm sure, and Jamie, she's in the back. Jamie, your picture's up there. You didn't see yet. But unhappy there is. You know what? So we had on Wednesday, everybody blessed me so much, and I'm a little concerned at how deceived I was that nothing was going on for my celebration. But we had this great celebration where everybody said, hey, thanks for being there 20 years, and it was a blessing. And I thought, that night was so full of joy. And I thought, that's the sermon. I mean, why do we all have that joy? Why Alex such a good friend of mine and Jamie? Because you know what? We've been on mission together, and that mission has given us a joy in friendship that this world says doesn't even exist. Why was that? Why did we laugh so hard on Wednesday night? Or why when we see someone from a good, from our church that means so much? Why is there joy in our hearts? Because it's the Great Commission that brings joy. But let's be honest. Like the scripture says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in this world. It's in the field, and when the man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. If you're going to know the kingdom of God in this life, you've got to treat it like a hidden treasure. You've got to say, this world is not going to tell me joy's here. This world is going to say, what are you talking about? There's no joy there. There's no treasure there. Be on mission, what's that about? You got to say, no, no, no. I know the treasure's there, and I'm on mission to get it. I'll give everything to get that joy that's in the kingdom. And so you and I live very differently from the world around us. We know that even though there are things that's like, I don't feel like I'm very good at this. Man, I got 5 reasons I think I've already blown it. It's like, you know what? It's hidden to me, but I know his treasure and what we're saying in this series, in my home, it may be hidden to me. I may look at my home and go, it's just this, this, and that. Home, that's the last place I want to be. Home, no, there's not anything. No, no, no. It's hidden. It's there, but you got to decide to dig for it, because discipleship begins in our home. Discipleship and that rhythm of the Great Commission, even if we've had very painful history and we've experienced a lot of brokenness in our home, where we are right now, it begins. We begin where we are, and we say, Lord, help me find that joy again. So this week we're going to talk about this word encouragement, because encouragement is really the strength of this Great Commission. While worship is that foundation and witness really is kind of the culmination, if you want me to rhyme, encouragement and intercession, it's the substantiation. It's what sustains it. It's what makes it happen. And what I want to tell you is most of us think of the word encouragement here, and we think the word nice. Oh, I'm supposed to be nice to people. Okay? Well, first of all, Jesus was never nice to people. I mean, he was gracious, compassionate, humble, merciful, forgiving. Nice wasn't one of those words. Because nice is just an emotional thing. It's just like, I'm just going to be nice to your circumstances. Jesus was gracious. Jesus was loving. Jesus was thoughtful. But nice is this kind of just, the way I encourage you is like, hey, it's okay, it's going to be all right. That's not the encouragement we're talking about here. See, the Bible shows this, and it's the main teaching of this morning, that our Great Commission, calling, and power are dependent on encouragement. What's the next few words? through God's holy word. Biblical encouragement is always connected to God's word. But the world has taken the word encouragement and made its own version of it, and you and I, even as Christians, tend to think of encouragement as nice. Encouragement is always belongs with God's word. Biblically, to encourage someone, it has to come through the word of God, because that's a source of hope and comfort that never fails. So we want to, in our time together, kind of redefine what we have thought encouragement is. I want to say, we want to get it that it's the word that truly encourages the people around us. So all you have to do is a very simple study of the word encouragement in the New Testament, and actually the Old as well, and you'll find out that encouragement is always tied to the scripture. So, first of all, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. And because I was trying to get three verses on there, I had to cut a lot out, which I hate to do, but obviously all the scripture applies. But you know what? The New Testament church, it was encouraged. It was a place that was encouraged. People were encouraged. They were, verse after the apostle teaching and they devoted themselves to prayer, says they were in awe of the signs and wonders that were going on. That was all based on God's word. And you know what? They were glad, and they were encouraged to be generous. And I think sometimes we forget the church is supposed to be a place of encouragement, because the New Testament church was absolutely a place of encouragement. Well, I don't know, Pastor Sean. You know, there's a lot of bad things going on. Well, I don't know. Encouragement is the focus. You know, that, you know, Acts 2:42, that was before they started being persecution. Oh, wait a minute. Acts 4. Disciples get beaten in the Sanhedrin. They come out of jail. Where do they go? They go to a home. And what do? They get all angry and mad and frustrated. No, you know what they do? They call out to God. They pray according to the scriptures in Acts chapter 4. And what does it say happens? The place is shaken by the power of God, and they preach the word of God boldly. In other words, you know what happened? Even despite their suffering and persecution, they were encouraged to go forward. And you know, this is not some big theological idea. I mean, just think about it. Do you really want to go to a church where people are just grumpy and tired and just look worn out and everybody thinks it's a religious obligation? I mean, is that the kind of church you want to be a part of? No. Why? Because church is supposed to be a place of life. It's supposed to be a place of encouragement. Now, that encouragement includes dealing with hard things, and that's somewhere where the word encouragement has kind of gotten away from us. We think encouragement means let's just all think happy thoughts. It's like, well, you're going to be encouraged, but I tell you what, we can deal with the hard stuff, and church can still be a place of encouragement. Because last time I checked, the Bible said repentance was to be unto what? Life. Even the things we have to deal with that are hard, there should be a place of encouragement. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2, Thessalonica, when he's writing this, why do you have to leave? Because everything good was happening in this church? Uh-uh. No, there was some rough stuff happening in that church. But what did he say about how he built up that church? He said, for you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. Well, where are they getting that standard of manner? That's the word of God they're giving them. See, encouragement is always the key to building a great commission home and a great commission church. New Testament goal, Romans 15, 4 through 5. For whatever is written in former days was written for our instruction, that through, what's the next sentence? The encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Because you know what? That word of God, it's always true. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter who's treating you how. The word of God's always true. So you always have hope, because the word of God has promises that will always encourage you. And so it's meant for our encouragement. And then he says, may the God, listen how he names God. He says, may the God of endurance and encouragement. He's a God of encouragement. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right? And by the way, you ain't enduring if you ain't getting encouragement. Right? That's why those two go together. Because he's the God of endurance, because he's the God of encouragement. May he grant you that with one voice you glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Biblical encouragement comes through God's word. And so let's before we look at it, I'm going to go here. How do we discover it's hidden? So we need to understand this, because maybe we'd say, Pastor Sean, encouragement is not the word I would use for my house, okay? It's not my home. Well, okay, it's hidden, but we're not going to give up on it. We're going to just learn, and we're going to understand. So the root word for encouragement in the New Testament is right up there. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it. But it basically means this: to comfort and to strengthen. Those two dynamics are always the two things that God is doing. So anywhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, where the word encouragement is, this Greek word is, because, you know, the Bible's interpreted, this Greek word is somewhere in there as the root. And so it's always talking about comfort, and it's always talking about strengthen. For those of us who've studied the Bible, we know that the Holy Spirit is what? The paraclete. He's the comforter. That it's that word. It's that same root word. And so we know that Jesus has sent us the comforter. He sent us encouragement through the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the scriptures, Romans 15:4, we already read, that it's the encouragement of the scriptures. And then, of course, that should be 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be what? Complete and equipped. In other words, what? Strengthened. To do what? What he's called to do. That's what the Word of God is there for. It's supposed to strengthen us and encourage us. And so this is my definition, and if I'm going too fast for you, all this will be online. So, you know, if you're missing it, you can come back and look at it later. But biblical encouragement is comfort and or strengthening, or strength, through the Scripture and the Spirit. Ezekiel 37, what do you need? You need the Word of God, and you need the Spirit of God to do what? Take those dry bones, make them live again, right? Bring life. And that's what God does through encouragement. Unfortunately, if this has not been a practice of ours, and honestly, I can't remember any time I've ever preached on this or ever hearing a sermon or teaching on this. What is biblical encouragement? It's always connected to the Word of God. It should bring life. And so I want you to look at me, look with me, not at me, with Hebrews 10:24. You can look at me too if you want. Okay, so the Scripture says, and what this is if you're ever studying the Bible, sometimes there are particulars, like an individual list, and then there's a general title that encompasses it. We have it here. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, so, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So in other words, to encourage someone is to stir them up to love and good works. So here's what I'm going to say. How do you know when encouragement has happened in your home? How do you know when the Word of God has done the job in your house? Here's how. Number one, when people in your home feel and give more love. Because encouragement should stir someone up to love. What else? Well, number two, when the people in your home are stirred up to do the right thing. Because that's what the Word of God, it tells us the right thing to do. So instead of some of us as parents getting caught in the, I'm just going to shame you or act really annoyed, look, and that's how I'm going to guilt you into doing the right thing. No, if you get the Word of God in the right way, they'll do the right thing. So we want to look at it. Home encouragement has happened when people in your home feel and give more love, and when people in your home are stirred up to do the good and the right thing. Now, I think one of the mistakes we make, I've made it as a parent, is we tend to only bring the Bible up in discipline and correction. So our kids are not all that interested in the Bible, because it's like the only time you bring it up is when you're mad at me. So we need to recognize that if we would make the Word of God about biblical encouragement, that the Word of God would not be resented or not be disinterested. It wouldn't be apathy in our home. So in other words, the Scriptures should bring life to your home and not just resentment or legalism. Now this is, I saw Pat here, somebody, this is where we're getting a whole lot of Elijah house, all right? This is where we're getting to like, yeah, there's some things I'm pretty bitter about or I resented. I resented the parent who kind of quoted the scripture and the dad who said, hey, I'm the head of the household because the Bible says it is, and then kind of did that, this, and the other thing. Like, I don't like that, all right? So it's nice when you're chucking out the scripture to back what you want, but how about like living it out? So, that's part of all of our stories. Nobody has perfect parents. But what you want to do is you want to make sure that biblical encouragement, you want to make sure the word of God is coming in a life-giving way. I want people to feel more loved by the way I use the scripture. I want people in my home, whether it's my roommate, my spouse, or my kids, I want to make sure that the word of God is encouraging them to do the right thing, not because they're caught doing the wrong thing, but because I have faith in what God's going to do in their life. So some of us have only gotten in a routine and we've gotten stuck as parents that the only time the Bible comes up is when discipline's going on. Now, if that's where you are, that's where you are, right? You got to start there. But what you need to do is you need to turn that thing around and get to the front of the line and sometimes share the word of God just because you're thinking about them and they're awesome and you're so thankful you got them as kids. You need to actually just sometimes pull this thing out right here. No, I'm not telling you to do it right now. Pull this. I got a text. I didn't even know that. You need to pull this out and you need to unlock it and you need to go to this thing called the Bible app. You know you got that? And you need to think of a scripture. And then you need to go over to texting, and you need to hit that like little pencil box thing, and you need to put the name of one of your kids, and then you need to say, hey, I'm praying for you today, and then pop on it so you can hit paste, and put that scripture, and say, you know what, the only reason I'm giving you the word of God today is because I love you. It's because I'm thinking about it. Because I thought that scripture about how God does good things, I thought of you. Like, you start doing that, and the scripture will bring life to your home. And here's the thing. Here's the catch. If you're at the point in your parenting where you need the word of God to control your kids, and you're trying to convince them not to do something, guess what? If you biblically encourage them, you won't have to control them. Because the word of God will be in them, they'll be making the right decision. So instead of me using the word to say, hey, by the way, you can't do that because da-da-da-da-da, you've already planted the word of God. They're like, I don't want to do that. Why did I do that? So if you want to be a home that doesn't like hyper-control your kids or feel like, but you're just like, but Pastor Sean, I'm just so worried about them. I'm like, well, worry about them enough to encourage them. Because you do that, they're going to be okay. It's going to take some time. Everybody's going to fall up. Sometimes you're going to have to be like, yep, nope. Done. I don't care how you feel about it. That's the rule. Sure, it's going to happen. But that should be less of what happens versus the biblical encouragement that should be going on. Now, I'm not just talking parenting, right? Because here's this great thing you can do. You can pull out your phone, and you can go to the Bible app, and you can find the scripture, and you can go to this thing called texting, and you can hit the thing in, and you can type in the name of your spouse or that person, that friend. And you could say, hey, praying for you today, paste this scripture. Like you really can do that. You don't even have to use the King James Version. You just, right? Like that's biblical encouragement. And when we start doing that the right way, what we find out is instead of having to only use it in the discipline time, the word of God is beginning to give self-discipline to our kids. Or when it comes down to the marriage is getting little, we live in a world that's like acid on a marriage, we find that word is building it back up and taking away the decay and keeping our attitudes in check. And I'm just blessed because even though I'm a little mad at you about that, you were super nice and gave me that verse. And I can't argue with that. That was just good. Right? That's what we're looking for. So I've got to keep coming back to this. The possibility of encouragement in our homes may seem hidden to us. Like, Pastor Sean, man, I love what you're saying. Either I feel like it's too late. Well, you know what? It's not too late. Whatever you got, whatever 5 loaves, 2 fish you did in your family, all right, whatever's five loaves, 2 fish you got at your home, start here and start digging. Like, bring this rhythm in, because even though we know that, hey, man, I feel like a poor example, or I feel like I just don't know the Bible enough, man, that Bible app gives you a verse a day. All you got to do is hit copy and paste, all right? That's all you got to do. And when we could just have faith that say, you know, I don't see it now in my home, but it can happen. And I tell you what, if we have encouragement through the word in our home, that home is going to take care of the Great Commission. It's going to have a passion for it. I'm going to move on from this one. So how do we do it? We've been talking about different ways, and my purpose of this series is not to make you busier. It's to make you better. I want you to go home and learn to do some stuff in discipleship. So we talked about worship. Pastor Travis and Brittany talked about witness. So let's talk about how do we do this as a home. What are some ways we could do this? And again, this is not just a parenting sermon. This is for all of us, no matter what life stage we're in. And let me go back. All of this is already written out on a sheet that you can get at the back of the sanctuary, through the Connection Center online. All you got to do is send us an email. We'll send it back to you. So everything you're about to see is all written out. So you can write whatever you want, but you don't have to write to remember it. It's all back there for you. All right, here we go. The first way you can do this is the amazing question jar. All right? And what you can do is you can use this to either put verses in it, or really what we tend to use this for and what seems the most effective is put questions in it. If you've got kids, obviously they're a certain nature. If it's roommates, it might be a little bit more on the accountability feel, although I think sometimes accountability doesn't understand friendship, encouragement very well. You got to make sure it's encouraging. But what you want to do is you take after a meal or something like that, take a question out, and whether, you know, and just ask it and answer it. And what you'll see, because we're gonna model this one in a few minutes, what you see is it's not just answering the question, but it's allowing encouragement to flow from that. We're going to do that for you in a few minutes. So you could do this as a family. One of the things I like about this is it doesn't get stale, especially maybe if you got some people in your home, you're not sure how much they're into focus. Hey, a new question, let's see what happens. You know, kind of use that element for them. Number two is really catechism. And I don't know how many of your faith traditions know what that is, but catechism is just question-answer. So a catechism in your home is when your kids are at the table and they got the elbows on the table, and you say, where do our elbows belong when we're eating? You've asked the question, and they get, not on the table, but yeah. You just taught them something through catechism. You have a question that leads them to the answer. So this idea can be done for both kids and families. It can also be done for adults. The ones I gave you, just FYI, the only ones I could find online, and I didn't really search long, are Baptist catechism. So for some reason, you've got a real issue with Baptists or something, just I'm trying to disclaim so you don't get mad at me. Here is... all of this is on the sheet in the back. All this is on the sheet in the back. So here's a catechism for kids, little kids. Who made you? God made me. And then if you want to do the scriptures, or you know, you can tie that into a devotion or something. What else did God make? Well, God made all things. Why did God make you and all things? For his own glory. How can you glorify God? By loving him and doing what he commands. Why ought you to glorify God? Because he made me and he takes care of me. That's why. That's awesome. And there's all these ones. And, you know, we're not turning it into a quiz. We're saying, hey, these are things we should remember. And if you notice, I put this on your handout, this is a way you could introduce it. Hey, God tells us to encourage each other by remembering what is true, even when our feelings and circumstances are discouraging us or making us stressed out. So let's take a moment and do a few of the remember questions so we remember what's true. That's all you got to do. That's how you can make it a time together. And so so those are some that you can do, and there's a whole list of them both, and there's on the outline that's for adults. There's one for adults and one for kids, and you can look at that book as well. I also have a YouTube video from Vaudi Bauckham who is terrific at this. All right, number three, home Bible reading plan. Whether you're family, couple, roommates, let's all read the Word of God together. Now, this is what the Franco family is doing starting tomorrow. And I'm inviting the church to do it. We're going to do the book of Proverbs for September because, you know, it's learning and probably a good thing to remember what good wisdom is about. And we probably need to remember some good relationship advice because all the kids are going to be in the middle of a lot of stuff again. So, you know, all our kids go to public school. And for them, it's like, these are probably going to be good things. But whether it's homeschool, private school, it's like, let's start out reading the Bible together. And the nice thing is, now in my life stage, my oldest is no longer in the same home with us. But you know what? She's going to do this with us. So even though she's out in college, we can all still be reading the same chapter. And we can have that place of fellowship and encouragement, even though we're not even in the same building anymore. So this is something, this is written out on the sheet back there, but I want to invite all of you. Psalm 119 is a great psalm that David's like, let me tell you why loving the Word of God is such a great thing. So man, read the first 18 verses of that, and just be like, tomorrow, and be like, man, it's just, this is why I love the Word of God. And then you can start in Proverbs. And what you can do in your Great Commission time, right, you could be doing that as individuals all together. And then when it comes to family devotion time, your Great Commission time, if it's a week for the Word, you can just say something real simple. You can say, so, hey, how did you like this week? Like, what was your favorite scripture? What was your favorite? You can do that daily, but you can also do that as a group. Now, we already talked about this one, right? Word encouragement for your home. You just text scriptures to each other. I do this one all the time, okay? I just, you know, hey, I'm reading the scripture and I thought about you, or I'm thinking about you and I ask the Lord for a scripture. I take a moment, I pray for them by that scripture, and then I send it to them. And that's just encouragement. Just say, hey. And whether it's by text or whether you give a person a call or you send an email or you send a carrier pigeon with a message, you know, however you do it, it's just the idea. And then number five, the weekly word encouragement time from Cornerstone. This is a time that what we're going to do at Cornerstone is we are going to each week, instead of doing daily devotions for you, although we'll have ones you can do if you need them, we're going to follow this rhythm. And on the third week, we're going to actually give you a word encouragement time from the Facebook page or the Word app or the weekly email that you can just do at your home. So we'll help you do it. So those are all ways that you can do word encouragement. All right. So I'm going to give you some final thoughts. Then we're going to wrap up, model it for a minute, and then finish up. First of all, I guess it would be good if you started reading the Bible, right? That's probably a good tip. Now, you know, I always have to say this. Please remember that insight from the Word of God, understanding or getting something out of it, is not a result of your education. It's a result of the Holy Spirit, okay? So if you're sitting here going, but I don't understand the Bible, don't let that be the disqualifier. Does it help to learn some, like, okay, this is how you study? Yes. But it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us what the Word of God is saying. Now, I would recommend you don't start off with the book of Revelations, okay? That's just, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that to yourself? It's like, so what was your favorite verse today? Well, something about, you know, massive blood and three-headed something. That was really, I felt like I could go to work today. You know, I don't know what you do with that. So just start with Proverbs, start with the Psalms, start with the book of James or Gospel, and let the Holy Spirit, you know, speak to you. All right, number two, I've really got to say this so earnestly to all of you who already know the Bible. Please do not preach. No monologues at home. No monologues. Can somebody please say amen to me for that? Don't monologue. Your family word time, you should not talk for more than 2 minutes in a row. And if you are, that's the pastoral look of shame. That's like, what are you doing? All right, because if your 2 minutes of encouragement haven't generated some conversation, you should stop. All right? Do not monologue. Make it something. It's like, Pastor, I'm not very good at that. It's okay. If it gets 2 minutes and you're done, be done. you did it. Maybe next time they'll be like, oh, he actually wanted me to say something. You know, I mean, try it again next week. But I encourage you, no monologues. And then number three, be careful applying scripture when people are hurting. Sometimes it can come across really insensitive and cold. Start with comfort and you know, be thinking about it. Probably, honestly, the one I'm thinking about for this is me as a husband, because I tend to want to fix things. So my wife is just hurting and not going well, and I just tell her scripture why she shouldn't feel bad anymore. Not helping. Not helping at all. Okay? So don't, when someone's hurting, they're hurting. And use the scripture to comfort them, not to tell them not to hurt anymore. Okay? Because sometimes we know the right answer too. It doesn't mean we're just not hurting. So just kind of be careful with that. Make sure you're doing enough encouragement. Number four, be careful with discipline in scripture. I'm not saying don't use it. I'm just saying make it a healthy diet, right? Make sure there's a lot of grace coming in here. Make sure you're doing things that are speaking life through the word so that when you got to go to the, by the way, we all know what the word says, and now you're punished, okay? When you got to go to that, you got plenty in the bank before that. And then, obviously, the goal is Jesus. The goal is just Jesus. I mean, that's what we want. We want people to have life in the word of God. And we want them to love the word of God. So we're faithful. Instead of doing big 20-minute monologues every so often, what we do is we try to incorporate it both in our day and make sure it's a rhythm in our life so they just grow to love the word of God. So, the question jar, shall we? All right, nobody give me eye contact right now, because if you do, I'm calling you up here. So look down, look away, just do something right now. All right, don't look. Who did I say I was thinking about? Steve, I already asked you. Sorry, buddy. I think Alex Williams would be terrific. Sorry, Alex, this is your day. You're on the pictures. Pastor Travis, Pastor Brandon, you have a recommendation? Don't look at Pastor Brandon or Pastor Travis either. Can we get either Milan or Michaela to come on up? Can we get a teenager? Come on, girl. I know. I want you to know overall I'm a safe pastor, but this moment's just, I know, it's a little bad. Here you go. Everybody got their mics on? Okay, let me get these for you. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the question jar right now for you. And I just want to make sure that you see that when we do this, that what we're doing is not just answering questions, but we're trying to find a place of encouragement for each other. So what I'm going to let you do, I'm going to let you choose, just pull out three of them. Because I'm going to let you choose a question instead of like getting stuck with one. All right? Because obviously it's a little different setting. So we just kind of want to, so pick three of them. Make sure you got three in there. And I'm going to pick some too. Yeah. Good? Oh, just take all of them. Okay. So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to take a few. So look at your questions. And we're going to just do a little encouragement time where we talk about an answer. Whoa, I got a lot too. Oh, that's cut off. Throw that one out. There you go. All right, and you're going to get to pick one of them, and then I'll kind of lead you in talking about it. I already did that one. Let's see. All right. Isn't this exciting? Who knows what's going to happen next? Please, Steve, bear your entire soul to us right now in front of everybody. Okay, Steve, I'm going to let you choose which one of mine I pick. Which one you want me to talk about? Which one you're interested in? Cool. This is great. All right, so here we go. So, whether we're roommates, whether we're family, whether it's just Sarah and I, my spouse, we take some time and, you know, once a week with our Great Commission time, this is the week we're doing it. We're just checking in. And just like, how can we encourage each other to stay on mission? And so my question, Steve gave me, is have I lived a healthy lifestyle? Food, sleep, exercise, okay? So I don't want to just answer the question, yes, yes, not really. Okay, that's not the goal, all right? What I want to do is I just want to say something that kind of helps somebody know what's going on in my life. So the answer is, for those who know me, sleep's not my strong point, okay? And I don't want to get all into it, but I got a little something that sometimes I don't sleep that well. So it's kind of a constant, something I've got to manage in my life. And so, you know, that's a great question for me because my family knows that. And it's like, well, you know, this week's been a little hard. And what my family knows is I kind of need a certain routine. Like if I kind of make sure eating, which I have done well, that helps me a lot. Not a ton of caffeine or stuff like that. And then kind of having enough of a routine. So one of the reasons why this question is really important to me is sometimes, just personally, I just feel wiped out. And so it's like, and I want my, if this was a family discussion right now, I'd just be like, hey, because, you know, Sarah does, sometimes, depending on how that's going, sometimes Sarah really has to carry the front load of the morning if I really didn't have a good night or like two or three in a row. And so in that moment, it's like, if I was talking about this as a family, I'd say, hey, and I just want to say thanks again for all the ways we pull together as a family, because I know that's not easy. And I, you know, here's what I'm trying to do for it. But at the same time, I want to say thank you, because that's a place that can be hard for me. Exercise. I got to ball yesterday, which was awesome. I went down to Iron Bridge. That was a lot of fun. Matt, I was thinking about you, man. And that was good, so I feel good. I got some exercise in. But probably if I was thinking about this not just being a yes-no in time, probably the thing I'd follow up with a little bit is the sleep issue, because that one's kind of tough for me. And then be like, so, yeah, that's our thanks and kind of a prayer. So that would be mine. All right, Steve, which one of yours are you going to choose?
Have your motto, lifestyle evangelism, this week. I guess looking at that, I would have to say I think I have. Sharing with, there's a coworker that I have now that I normally share, you know, different things that we're dealing with as far as life as it relates to Scripture.
That's great. Now, you know, this would definitely be a point. Either we would find out, probably what I do that he said that is when we come to our prayer time, I'd say, let's make sure we pray for your coworker. Like, I would just use that as the time to say, okay, let's pray. That's great. And I would definitely encourage Steve, because he is just, I mean, he lives it. And I've heard testimony of that before. Just, you know, try to encourage him in that. And then maybe even talk about, maybe instead of just praying for his coworker, maybe we all mention someone we should be praying for lifestyle evangelism. Use it that way. So, awesome. Well, thank you again for doing this. I noticed. Sorry. All right. Which one?
Have you kept your tongue in check this week, i.e. cursing, gossip, or making fun of someone?
Oh, this is such... Well, this could get interesting real quick.
Well, I go to Richard Bland College, and I just see some things.
Yeah, right?
And I have a little sister that I can talk to all the time and be like, guess what I just saw?
Yeah.
So the answer is no. I have not.
Yeah. Didn't that feel good? Wasn't that great? Yeah. Yes. Now, as a parent, this moment, what I would use is one of the things I try to teach our kids is that the idea of this world is I'll feel better if I put you down. So in this world, the only way I feel better is I say something negative about someone else. So I would use this moment to remind us that that's maybe the world thinks, but that's not how God's people think. We feel better by blessing somebody else. And then always trying to go to the issue of, depending on the issue of, so how's your heart doing with all that? Because that's hard, you know? And so we'd be praying for that and remembering that our words can give life. So that's how I would use that one and maybe take them on prayer. So thanks for sharing that. You're awesome. That was great. All right, Miss Alex, which one are you going to give us?
Do you have given God my best excellence in my responsibilities this week at home, school, work, ministry? Answer to that. For one, this was a big one.
You just pick one of the areas.
Okay. I'll do work. And this has been something God's been laying on my heart for the past month, and just being a light to a lot of my coworkers who don't interaction with Jesus at all. So it's tough, because sometimes it's a job where there's a lot of complaining. It's hard to not continue to be a light and give God my all in that.
That's so cool. So one of the things I've done, I'm just kind of sharing with you probably where I take a conversation like this. One of the things I've done is I've decided personally that when I feel like I'm hearing a lot of complaints, that I'm going to bless twice as much. So what I do is when I feel like there's a lot of negative come my way, I make sure, like literally this week I had someone who was just kind of being rough on me. And I wanted to kind of stew on it and just start making a negative. And I forced myself to text 5 people what I was thankful for them about. I said, hey, I'm praying for you. I just like, you know what? The enemy wants to make that. I'm going to make it that he hates that he did that, because now more people are going to be blessed. So I just kind of like, I just took it, used it. Another thing we talk about in my family is complainers are never leaders. When you complain, you're not a leader. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't things we have to critique or say, hey, this needs to be better. But complaining's just, if it's not a source of life, you're not a leader. And so, I would encourage Alex, or whoever, like, hey, you know, just remember, that's not the spirit. We go by the opposite spirit. We speak life. We handle tough things, and sometimes we're the person who's most honest about things that nobody wants to talk about, right? But we don't complain, because complaining's just, you're not leading, you're following. And then just, obviously, as we're talking through this time, what's the common theme? Work, school, work, being a light. So that's what we would do in this moment now. We take a few moments to pray and just, man, just build them up. So I think most time, depending on your situation, like one of the things I don't do well is I tend to be the one who prays at all our family things. And that's one of the things I'm trying to fix, because when I'm always doing praying, then I'm teaching my kids to go on autopilot in prayer, which is not good. So one of the things, if you're in that life stage, you want to make sure you share responsibilities of praying, because you don't want to just go on autopilot. And for time's sake, I am going to be the one to pray for this time, but don't go on autopilot. Okay. And then we're going to do one more thing together. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for 3 great people I respect a lot, and I'm very encouraged by them, dear God. They just live in such a way that, Lord, none of them think they're perfect. They're all figuring it out just like I am. But, Lord, we thank you for Steve, and we thank you for what you're doing through the co-worker. We pray right now, and we all agree as a church, even right now, that the seeds that Steve has planted this last week, as he said yes to Lifestyle Evangelism, that, Lord, you would give them another opportunity, and especially to share scripture, so you can be the start to be the main voice this person is hearing. So just guide him in that. Lord, for Milan, as she's doing school, and we just thank you so much for her. Thank you for her heart for you and her honesty of, Lord, just knowing what I want my life to be about, but also what this world's about. It's not easy. And Father, I pray even as we've had this time together this week, at school, she would just, man, she just sense like you and her are walking side by side, and you're whispering in her ear things to understand about what she's seeing and what's going on. Lord, I thank you for Alex. I thank you how she gives so much, and Lord, she is in a really hard context, but she's chosen to be there because of you. Lord, I pray the scripture that greater are you in her than he that's in that world and that job. Lord, may the spirit of God that's in her overcome the spirit of death that so often surrounds that place. Lord, you are faithful. And Lord, we entrust you with our weaknesses, with our illnesses, with the things we do good and the things we don't. Because in the end, Father, you're the one who said, Father, to follow you and to trust in you, that those who trust in you are never put to shame. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. And I thank you that we could have this family moment as a church. May what we've done here not be done my way. My style's my style. But Lord, may each home here, single, parent, empty nester, Lord, whoever they are, may discipleship come to their homes. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Can we give them a thank you? You can just leave it there. Leave it there. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Miss Milan. Fist bump for you. All right. All right. I hope that helps. It's just like, that's what it is. That's all it is right there. But the presence of God comes into that in big ways. What I want you to do, I realize because we're a four-generation church, and just depending if you left your cell phone in the car, I realize what I'm going to do next. Not everybody is going to have the capability to do. But if you do have your cell phones, I'd like you to take them out right now because we're going to text somebody before we finish up service. If you don't have a cell phone, whether you want to just write down the scripture or you want to you just want to make a decision to pray in the next few moments for someone, what I'd like you to do, is this still working? There we go. Here you go. Here's two scriptures. And again, whether you can find them on your smartphone app right now, or you want to just, I've got a relative who used to be in church and is out of church now, and pretty hard feelings towards church. And so in first service, I texted him. I said, hey man, praying for you. He knows where I am on Sunday morning. You know what I mean? He's not there anymore, but he knows where I am. I said, hey man, I'm praying for you. I hope you have a great day. Didn't say, why aren't you in church? No, I said, man, I'm praying for you today. And I just shared a little scripture with him. So if you got your cell phones, this is your chime. You actually get to text during church right now. So I want you to find somebody and either send them that or a word of encouragement you want. And again, if you don't have a cell phone on you or if cell phone's not your thing, then just pray. And when you go home today, take a moment to do that, okay? So let's all do that. Let's just kind of make it a moment of prayer. And I'm going to text my person too. By the way, Fred Gales texted me, said, hey, we're streaming the service. Hey, Fred. Calandria, hope you're doing well. We love you. As you're finishing up, would you stand with me? Make sure your phone's on silent, because now that you texted somebody, they may be texting you back during the prayer. So I want to encourage you this week, whoever's in your home, to talk about a time that you're going to get together and take a moment to do word encouragement. Also, obviously, whoever's in your home, if you do it today, you say, hey, Pastor Sean has mentioned their family's reading the same chapter day. I thought Proverbs was a good idea. Tomorrow we do Psalm 119, verse 1 through 18. But I'll remind you, and what do you say we all do it together this week? And then if people do it or if they forget, don't get all weird on them. Just be like, hey, when they do it, be thankful. When they don't, just be excited the next time they're going to do it. And then let's let the life of the Word of God strengthen us for the Great Commission ahead. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the beauty and the simplicity of the power of your Holy Spirit. You have given us your Word. It's a light, Lord, a light. Our path, Lord, it